This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're all part of a global capitalist economy, a system that promised to benefit the rich and the poor alike. Yet, youth unemployment rate has been on the rise, salaries have stagnated for close to 20 years despite the massive increase in cost of living, cost of education is at an all-time high, and the average millennial and Gen Z cannot even afford adequate housing on a single paycheck, despite it being a fundamental human right. So what went wrong? And what's the solution here? I'm Darshan Johan, and this is Think Left on Beyond the Ballot Box, a series that explores various issues through a leftist or socialist prism with Parti Socialist Malaysia. On today's episode, we discuss the climate crisis and how it ties into capitalism. Joining me on the show today is Audrey Chan, AJK Pemuda Socialist and member of BASKI, which is the PSM's Biro Alam Sekitar and Crisis Iklim. Welcome to the show, Audrey. Let's start with the basics. What is climate change?
Thank you for having me. So when we talk about climate change today, we are referring to the shift in climate and temperature and weather patterns since the 1800s or the start of the Industrial Revolution or the Anthropocene era, where human activities have been the main driver of climate change, primarily due to burning fossil fuels like coal, oil and gas, which emit greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane that act like a blanket wrapped around the earth, trapping the sun's heat and raising temperatures. So Anthropocene is a widely proposed name for the geological epoch that covers human impact on our planet. So human impact on our planet is undeniable. For example, in the Straits Times 2 days ago, there was news covering how Southeast Asian coastal cities are sinking the fastest globally. In my point of view, as a socialist, climate change is not just a carbon emission problem, but also a climate injustice problem, where the global north, which are countries like the US and the UK, are the cause and are responsible for a majority of the emissions of greenhouse gases, but are the ones who are least affected by the climate crisis, and vice versa, those least responsible from the global south, like Africa and Pakistan, are the most affected. But I've been using like these buzzwords like global north, global south.
Right.
But what do they actually mean, right? So the global north often refers to developed or first world countries in which the capitalists are enjoying the riches stolen by colonizing countries in the global south. One of my favorite speeches from COP26 is Vijay Prashad's speech, where he talks about being in Glasgow, which was the UK's second most important city for the summit, and him quoting Walter Benjamin. Every monument of civilization is also a monument of barbarism, end quote. So how wealth gained by slavery, exploitation and theft of resources built such cities? How when the British ruled, they called it a civilization, but when India managed to overthrow them, the literacy rate was only at 13%. It's also like how the US is only 4-5% of the world's population, but uses 25% of the world's resources. How colonial structures and institutions exist, like the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, which lends money to the countries they have colonized before them, which the wealth that they got was extracted from those very countries that they have colonized before. So they are literally giving you back what they stole and charging you for it. Make it make sense, right?
Right, right.
So Vijay Prashad's speech actually really radicalized me.
For the longest time, we used the word climate change. But for, you know, in the past few years, the word change has become crisis. It's no more climate change, it's now climate crisis. What's a climate crisis and are we experiencing a climate crisis right now?
So the IPCC is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Mm-hmm. So the IPCC prepares these comprehensive assessment reports on knowledge on climate change, its causes, potential impacts and response options. So recently, the sixth assessment report strongly reminds us that the changes that we are experiencing around the world will be more widespread with each degree of additional global warming. So these changes range from increased rainfall to catastrophic societal collapse. The IPCC, UN Chief Guterres, Attenborough and thousands of scientists worldwide have warned in the starkest terms that we have 3 years to avoid catastrophic societal collapse loss of biodiversity, habitat and climate chaos. So climate change possibly changed to climate crisis because of all these catastrophic societal collapse, literally.
Malaysia experienced some of the worst floods in our country's history last December. Would you say that this is also attributed to the climate crisis as well?
For sure. Like, increased rainfall is definitely not normal, but our climate mitigation steps have also been very abysmal. The government could have mitigated the situation even a little bit, but has failed to do so. Apart from being slow to deliver food response, lackluster flood mitigation policies, loss of biodiversity and rainfall catchment areas, poor urban planning and unchecked development, these are all like factors that culminated in the disaster.
Right. So you've broke down what climate crisis is. What's causing it? What is causing this climate change, the climate crisis, what we are facing right now? Who are the biggest contributors to climate change and how?
Okay, so what is causing climate change? It's definitely the human impacts on the earth, like we mentioned before. And these stem from the system, which is capitalism, neoliberalism. So I'm going to explain what capitalism is.
Right.
Capitalism is an economic system based on private ownership. So it's a system that puts profit above all else. Like, for example, it's more profitable for big businesses to destroy the planet than to save it. Oil companies, car companies, they would definitely prefer to keep you in your cars and on your roads. So they love the car dependency and love it when you get stuck in traffic. They love it when cities are purposefully made to not be people-friendly and accessible. It thrives in purposefully creating a huge web of problems that create more problems, all for the sake of profit by selling you the solution. So they sell you the idea that having a car will make you free, when in actuality, better city planning with better infrastructures and public transport would actually promote not only more freedom of movement because you're given the choice not to be stuck in traffic, but also a healthier lifestyle. So the competition between individual enterprises and industries to make a profitable return on their investment tends to exclude rational and sustainable planning. We socialists tend to quote Karl Marx.
Right.
So Marx argued that capitalism is inherently unstable, fraught with contradictions and prone to deep crises. Exploitation, war, hunger and poverty were not problems that could be solved by the market system. Rather, they were inescapable outcomes of the system itself. This is because capitalism is dominated by the wealthiest corporations and devoted to profit above all else. Capitalism is an economic system profoundly at odds with a sustainable planet. The exploitation of nature is as fundamental to the profit system, he argued, as the exploitation of working people. So something that birthed from capitalism that also contributes to the climate crisis is neoliberalism. Capitalism on steroids. So neoliberalism is fascism disguised as a hustle. It dehumanizes people by positing that it's impossible to provide the needs of every person. Only the people who are capable of surviving have the right to survive, according to the neoliberals. So what neoliberalism is contemporarily used to refer to market oriented reform. Policies such as eliminating price controls, deregulating capital markets, lowering trade barriers, and reducing, especially through privatization and austerity, state influence on the economy. So neoliberalism sees competition as the defining characteristic of human relation. It redefines citizens as consumers, whose democratic choices are best exercised by buying and selling. So the rich persuade themselves that they acquired their wealth through merit, ignoring the advantages such as education, inheritance, and class that may have helped to secure it, while the poor begin to blame themselves for their failures, even when they can do little to change their circumstances. Like, a lot of our lives are actually determined based on the lottery ticket of where of when we got where we were born.
Right.
Like, geopolitics also affects our lives a lot. I quote an article written by George Monbiot. Never mind structural unemployment. If you don't have a job, it's because you are unenterprising. Never mind the impossible cost of housing. If your credit card is maxed out, you're feckless and improvident. Never mind that your children no longer have a school playing field. If they get fat, it's your fault. In a world governed by competition, those who fall behind become defined and self-defined as losers, end quote. So what the history of neoliberalism shows is that it's not enough to oppose a broken system. A coherent alternative has to be proposed.
Right. So now you've written a number of articles on the climate crisis, right? And in one article, you rightfully point out something very poignant. And what you point out is that we cannot avert the climate crisis without upholding climate justice. That it is important to point out that the climate crisis stands to affect poorer populations in significantly disproportionate manner. How and why?
Okay, so back to the topic of the global north and the global south. Mm-hmm. Poorer nations have remained poor due to colonialism, imperialism, and during the Industrial Revolution, having their resources stolen from them. The people were exploited also to build the countries of the colonizers and more. So when nations have a hard time developing, it will definitely also be more difficult for the masses to even fulfill their basic rights to food, education, shelter, and more. With even their basic needs not being able to be met, how are these nations expected to be able to build resistances against such crises?
Right.
One of the most recent tragedies has been in Pakistan, mm-hmm. where there have been floods due to the monsoon, in which rain has fallen 8 times more than usual. And on top of that, the melting of ice caps from glaciers and snow has also exacerbated the situation. So like 1 over 3 of Pakistan is flooded right now. So this is causing the death of thousands of people, displacement of tens of millions of people, damaged crops, water crisis, all negatively impacting food sovereignty and more.
Right. So what you're saying, you can correct me if I'm wrong, right? It's that if you look at a country like Pakistan, you know, it did not contribute to the devastation of the planet when you compare to the degree of the US, the EU, those richer or developed nations in that sense. But yet they are feeling the brunt of the effects right now. Although US and UK, for example, contributed to the large majority of the carbon emissions and destruction of the planet, it is Pakistan where we saw, let's say, the displacement of over 30 million people, which is pretty much the size of the entire Malaysian population. Is that what we are seeing throughout the globe?
Yeah, totally. That's completely the case.
Right.
Like we said, how they extracted wealth from the poor and then, you know, they're lending the wealth that they extracted back at a price to the poor. And they're not actually, you know, paying back for any reparations to these global south countries. This has been and will remain a problem if this system doesn't change.
On the show with me today is Audrey Chan, AJK Pemuda Socialist and member of BASKI, which is PSM's Biro Alam Sekitar and Krisis Iklim. After the break, we discuss if individual behaviour can stop climate crisis. Keep it here on Think Left on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Think Left on Beyond the Ballot Box. I'm Darshan Johan, and on the show with me today is Audrey Chan, AJK Pemuda Socialist and a member of PSM's Biro Alam Sekitar and Krisis Iklim. And we're talking about the climate crisis. So Audrey, one of the challenges faced by many developing countries is developed countries such as the US brutalize the planet, they release vast amounts of carbon when they were growing. How do we now tell developing countries, poorer nations and all, you cannot stop the factories, stop building all these roads, stop destroying your trees, stop doing all this because you're going to contribute to the worsening climate crisis. They can just look at the rich nations and like, but you became rich by doing that.
Yeah, so it would be extremely unfair to say that to developing countries. So what we can do is spread revolutionary education, make them aware of the true culprits, who are the capitalists, and empower the working class. Reparations need to be paid by countries from the global north to the global south to effectively transition away from fossil fuels whilst not affecting their economy adversely. And as we have said before, under this system, it's likely not going to happen.
Right. So now that we are experiencing a climate crisis, right, how do we solve it? One way you talk about when it comes to poorer nations and all these reparations, paying back their dues. But other than that, how do we solve this climate crisis? Can it even be solved in the first place?
As socialists, mm-hmm. we believe in eco-socialism.
Right.
So what eco-socialism is that it calls for production not merely for profit, but to fulfill community needs, social ownership of resources and means of production, instead of private ownership in the hands of a few capitalists, workers and people to have democratic control over production of goods and services, equitable distribution of wealth and resources through economic and political means. So what all this means is when we have a more equitable distribution of resources and workers have greater control over the production, we can reduce the production of unnecessary goods just for the sake of profit. Because infinite economic growth in a world with finite resources is just simply impossible. We should strive to fulfill qualitative needs instead of quantitative needs to help us realize life is not just about buy, consume, and work, but also to grow, nurture, and leave a better world for the next generation. So, to quote one of the articles written by Basky, an eco-socialist system would put people over profit and does so specifically in respect to the limits of growth, essentially to maintain sustainability of society. Even so, that does not mean imposing scarcity and hardship. This means that humanity has to embrace a transformation of needs to the qualitative dimension and away from quantitative, end quote.
So Audrey, one of the things I'm wondering, right, over the past few years especially, we've seen a rise in awareness about climate crisis, climate change among the masses, right? And this has led to various initiatives, various movements in Malaysia, across the world. We see more and more people bringing their own Tupperwares to restaurants, to tapau food. Can individual behavior stop climate change? I'm wondering how much of an impact all these sorts of things have on the climate crisis.
Not to discourage these good practices. It does help for sure, but it won't be able to amount to much as we just can't avoid plastics in the system. Just merely saying stop using plastics is not feasible in a society where capitalists have caused us to be reliant on plastics. Plastic is in or comes with almost every product we consume. To quote like Mark Hilmer, which is a professor of polymer chemistry at the University of Minnesota, they're inexpensive to produce, and for the amount of material it takes to make a plastic bag, you can carry a lot of stuff in it, end quote. So it is also ableist to say, just stop using plastic. For example, almost all hospital equipment, materials are made out of plastics. Would you go to a patient on life support and ask them to stop using plastic?
Right.
Yeah, it's selfish and irresponsible, right?
Absolutely.
So our contributions to these efforts, just by bringing a tiffin carrier to tapau food, and thinking we did something good, we'll never be able to tackle the behemoth problems that capitalism is causing. When we actually look at the climate crisis, the biggest contributors are again tied to capitalism. Capitalism with markets like fossil fuels, transport, like I've mentioned before, manufacturing and construction, with how we are building too many properties but still having a housing crisis, agriculture, and so on. The bigger the capitalists, the bigger their contribution to climate change. Again, like Petronas, aviation companies like Air Asia. So, did you know that aviation actually contributes to around 4% of human-induced global warming?
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it might not sound like much, but it's actually more than most countries emit.
Right.
Like countries which are feeding all of their population. Aviation industry is contributing to 4% of global warming. So if aviation were actually a country, it would be the world's sixth biggest emitter. Yeah, that's huge. So climate crisis is inseparable from the economic system that humankind has practiced since the Industrial Revolution. So many researchers have proven that once there was a change in the production activity, the change over from the feudal economy to capitalist economy, we saw an exponential increase in temperature and environmental degradation that followed it. However, individuals do have responsibility towards tackling climate change. So the most important actions an individual can take is to know your rights as a human, fight for the lives of the marginalized and those most affected by actively pushing for change against this capitalist system. Not fall into the trap of consumerism and realize that happiness is really just around us. We don't have to go looking for them in the things that we buy. So what we can actively choose to do, though, is avoid too many airplane travels, reduce meat consumption, especially beef, and also fast fashion, which all of this falls under consumerism.
Right.
So, yeah. However, big impact won't come from individual choices, but through radical change.
Right. And so I want to get into that, right? How do we achieve this radical change? Because I think the word that you used, the sentence you said earlier, not to discourage people who are making these these small changes, right? But because I think these small changes are still important. It raises awareness. It makes people more aware that, okay, like, there is this problem and I want to try and do something to fix it. And I think that's great. Mm-hmm. But how do we achieve this radical change? Is it about organization? Like, tell me, what can we do as a society among the masses to achieve these radical changes?
Okay, so even like the IPCC report, mm-hmm. like the IPCC that I mentioned earlier, the latest IPCC Working Group 3 report on mitigation states that collective action and social organizing are crucial to shift systems. So international solidarity and protests against the system are important to overthrow it. People are dying and being displaced. Like, is it still not the time to be radical? Until when are we expected to be buddy-buddy with the capitalists that are clearly amassing more wealth than they can spend? Like, we have to realize that no matter how much we talk and negotiate with them, their personal interest in this capitalist system is in contradiction to the well-being of the rakyat. Like, how many more flights or holidays do they need to take until they're satisfied while everyone else dies? So a revolution is actually very desperately needed. We need to rise to demand governments to take the required action to stop climate change. Mass violence, disease, financial collapse, and global war is on the horizon.
Just circling back and honing in on Malaysia, right? What are the... We see a lot of issues that Malaysians are facing because of climate crisis. And one of it is floods and various other issues. What are the short-term and long-term solutions to the problems we're facing here in Malaysia? What does PSM advocate for?
So short-term would definitely be better flood mitigations, better waste management systems, treating our cleaners right, giving them dignified wages and opening up job opportunities to more people, because they are the ones cleaning our streets. And also listening to the voices of the most affected and putting them at the forefront of the struggle. Long term would be definitely to reduce our reliance on cars as a means of transport, which means building much more reliable public transport or bicycle lanes so that people feel more attracted to using these alternative modes of transportation. So we should be building better cities for the people and not for profit. So there are more details that can be found in our Rakyat Minta Lima plan and also our comprehensive Reduce Greenhouse Gases booklet. Yeah, you can check it out.
All right. Okay, before we wrap this conversation up, would you have a final message for us?
Oh, yeah. There's a quote I really love by Chico Mendes,
right,
who's a Brazilian rubber tapper, trade union leader and environmentalist who fought to preserve the Amazon rainforest. And he advocated for human rights of Brazilian peasants and indigenous peoples, which goes like this, quote, "Ecology without class struggle is just gardening," end quote. So we need to focus on the masses and change the system, not the climate. Only a political force, a socialist or a leftist, and the masses being in power can take brave measures against the economic system we have. Actions taken that don't actively tackle the system that is destroying our earth are just greenwashing efforts. Yeah.
Ecology without class struggle is just gardening. I think that sentence is going to be etched in my mind for a very long time. On that note, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Dashan. There's like too many conversations to be had on climate crisis. Like, thank you for having this one with me.
That was Audrey Chan, AJK Pemuda Socialist and member of BASKI, which is PSM's Biro Alam Sekitar and Crisis Iklim. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can also check us out on podcasts. We're available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashan Johan, and this has been Think Left on Beyond the Ballot Box, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.